This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I shall be taught from the living word of God. And I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. My life will be better after having heard the ever-living, precious word of God. I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I still have a few more things to share with you regarding this. Of course, a couple of Sundays ago, we celebrated Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost Sunday is celebrated worldwide. And we just rejoice and we thank God for the Holy Spirit coming in this. And I don't know how long, you know, the Spirit of God may tell me to talk a little bit more about this, but I heard one gentleman say this sometimes, because sometimes people get tired of hearing certain things. They get tired of hearing certain things. I heard one gentleman said, you know what, faith is, we don't need to hear about faith anymore. We heard everything we need to hear about faith. I was like, okay. And then they said, faith is a movement. Faith has passed away. I'm like, okay. You know, people that make statements like that, you know, I don't need to argue with them. Just let them say what they want to say and just go on. Amen. You know better. So ain't no need getting no fuss with them. Because the Bible tell you, the Bible talked to you about getting in fuss and arguments with people. Said the servant of the Lord must not strive, must not be contentious. But I'm telling you, sometimes in the church and the ministry, you got more contention among preachers than among any group of people. And so we have to become mature. And you know, if somebody told me that I'm white, I wouldn't even argue with them. Why would I argue with them? I just look in the mirror. Okay? So I don't let that bother me. I just go on, you know. Matter of fact, I heard some people tell me, they told me, you know what, you don't preach black, you preach white. I'm like, where do you find out? What's white preaching like? What's black preaching like? I thought preaching was preaching. Amen. It depends on what you're preaching. Amen. Glory to God. Matter of fact, I had one preacher tell one. Matter of fact, it was a pastor told me years ago. He told me, he said, Clyde, you're not a preacher. You're just a lecturer. I said, oh, okay. If you're not careful, people will say a lot of things to you in life that can cause you to quit. That can cause you to try to be like somebody else. And you won't be who God called you to be. Amen, somebody. Look at somebody and say, be who God called you to be. And believe in you. Amen. Yeah, believe in you. And so, regardless of what other folks say, just ignore that and just move on down the road. Amen. And but sometimes people say, you know, you know, too much emphasis on that. There's too much emphasis on that. And I ask, what does the Holy Spirit say? Because before some people get some things, there has to be a super emphasis on certain subjects. Not just an emphasis, a super emphasis. Because until it gets down into you and take root, it's really not going to help you. Until it begins to come up out of you, you haven't gotten it yet. If you're still fussing and arguing about, you know, what you hear, rather than repeating what you heard, you haven't gotten it yet. Like sometimes I've heard people say, you know what, all this talk on confession, confession, confession. Ah, we don't need all that talk on confession. Okay. You haven't gotten it yet. Because you are a speaking spirit. Amen. You are a speaking spirit, and you have been delegated power. You not only have authority, you also have ability. And you have not just natural ability, you and I have divine ability. Because, like I said before, what God thought of you, he put it all in Christ. And you today are in Christ. Amen. And because you are in him, what's in him is in you. And until you see it, it will not come out of you. Until you see it, you will not say it. I'm not trying to be like T.D. Jakes. I'm not trying to be like Creflo Dollar. I'm not trying to be like David Jeremiah. I'm not trying to be like Kenneth Copeland. I'm not trying to be like Jerry Savelle. I'm just trying to be the best Clyde I can be. Amen. In him. Praise the Lord. And God wants you to be the best whoever you are in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Then in order for that to go to the next level, we need the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, the person that knows Jesus better than anyone else on the earth is the Holy Spirit. Amen. It wasn't Catherine Kuhlman. It wasn't Benny Hinn. It's the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory to God. He knows Jesus better than anyone. Now, here this poem, I said, why is that so important? Because we are his body. We are his body. When people see us, they should see him. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say, oh, who you guys think you are? Y'all walk around like you little Jesuses. Like, I ain't gonna argue with you about that. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. Glory to God. Wherever we go, we should be acting, living, talking just like Jesus. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is our coach. Oh, glory. I said the Holy Spirit is our coach. I remember one day, you know, my son Doug. Doug used to like play basketball, and they had a police athletic league, and Doug played basketball with him. And so Doug would, the coach would give him pointers on different things, but Doug had to go play. The coach is not going to play. The coach is just going to give you pointers. And one day I was talking with Doug. Matter of fact, he was late coming to school, but he missed the bus. And so normally, I'm telling you, I don't like irresponsibility. There's no reason for you to miss the bus. Okay? And you got to learn how to manage your time. Come on now. And you know, you have to teach things to people to prepare them for when they're not around you. And so I got in the car, he got in the car, so I'm taking him to school. And it was quiet in the car. Because I hadn't said anything to him up to now. He was accustomed to me just jumping into his chest immediately. And it was a quiet, very solemn. So I broke the quietness. I said, Doug, you probably think I'm mad at you, right? He said, yes. I said, well, I'm not mad at you. I said, you know, just like, and the Holy Spirit gave me this. I said, just like where the basketball league is concerned, you have a coach. I said, I observe you. When the coach came alongside you and gave you pointers about doing things that would help you in your game, you made the adjustments and your game became better. I said, do not look at me as being big bad dad. I'm just your coach. You know, the Holy Ghost got some analogies. I said, I'm just your coach. Don't fear me. I'm not here to beat you up, to berate you, or anything like that. I'm here to lift you up because you have greatness in you. Oh, glory to God. The Holy Spirit is in us because you have greatness in you. Oh, hallelujah. And he wants to lift us up. He wants all of heaven standing and clapping for you. Because you walk in the earth even as Jesus walked. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so many organizations. Christian denominations. They talk about the Holy Spirit and working in your life and talk about the Spirit-filled life. Somewhere along the line, they leave out the tongues. Matter of fact, they'll tell you that some will tell you that tongues is of the devil. Some will tell you that you don't have to do it all the time. Matter of fact, I was raised in the holiness movement, and they told us that if you spoke one time, that was sufficient. Well, you know, we thank God for where we come from. We all are on our way somewhere. And sometimes we may be in this camp or that camp or the other camp, but we don't belittle the camps. We're like the Bible. The Bible is a progressive revelation of truth. And so we thank God for where we've been. But when greater light has come, we walk in the light that God is revealing in that moment. And so I was taught that, and so I was content with what I've been taught. That if you only spoke one time, that was sufficient. Because I went to meetings, and there were some people, we talked about the Holy Spirit, and everybody ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Won't people come down and be filled with the Spirit? But if you only do it one time, that is sufficient. Somebody that continuously talk about that is a person that don't understand the benefits of praying in the Holy Ghost. And the Bible is abundantly clear about the benefits of praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's supposed to be as much a part of our life as Jesus is. Matter of fact, he's been sent to reveal Jesus. Amen. Oh, glory to God. No man can come to the Father unless he's drawn by the Holy Spirit. No man can change unless the Holy Spirit is involved, because the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts people of sin. It's never my job to preach people under conviction of sin. It's my job just to preach the word, preach what he told me to preach. It's his job to convict. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. So there have been a lot of abuses where the Holy Spirit's concerned. And many times preachers have abused their position because, you know, their intent is right. You want to see people receive the best, walk in the best and everything. But we don't make sure that we do things the way the Bible says do them. Amen. Acts chapter 2, you found that yet? Beginning with verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Everyone was filled as the Spirit gave them utterance. So if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the biblical example is that you should have the tongues to go along with it. Amen? I not only like shoes, you know, I have my shoes here. I not only like shoes, but I like shoes with laces. If you're going to have the Holy Spirit, get the tongues to go along with it. Amen? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, we have been talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And last time we talked about how let's just first of all read John chapter 16, verse number 7. Because Jesus made some statements. Some people won't accept certain things unless Jesus said it. But Jesus has some things to say about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, verse 7, it says, nevertheless, Jesus is speaking, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage, or it is to your profit, or it is more expedient that I go away. Some people don't understand why Jesus left. Some people depressed over the fact that he left. Matter of fact, some people wrote a song, to be like Jesus or to be with Jesus. They just want to be with Jesus all the time. Well, Jesus as a man can only be in one place at one time. And there are over 7 billion people on the earth. The man Jesus can only be in one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit, oh, glory to God. The Holy Spirit can be everywhere at the same time. Amen. And so it is more profitable, it is more expedient, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go, the helper will not come. Everybody say, we need the helper. We need the helper. We need the comforter. And then I love the Amplified Bible. It says he's a strengthener. He's an advocate. He's a standby. He's an intercessor. He's an advocate. He's so much more. We need him. In other words, Jesus knew what he was supposed to do. He did what he could do. And then he left. He paved the way so that the Holy Spirit could come. Somebody said, why is that so important? Because when you go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam fellowship with the Lord. He was walking in communion with God all the time. It's like the Spirit of God was on the throne of his life. But when he submitted himself to Satan, it's like there was an eviction that took place. Yeah, he no longer, even though he still followed God to the best of his ability, something changed. There was a shift spiritually because of his disobedience. Now, we still walk in the light that we have, but I'm telling you, he messed it up for all of us. And what God wants to do is to get the Holy Spirit back on the throne of every one of our lives, whereby when we walk, he said, I will walk with them. I'll talk with them. You know, and the word go in concert with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has to impress and imprint these things upon our heart. Matter of fact, there was something that was this morning as I've been ready for church. I heard on my inside. According to the Bible, everybody say, according to the Bible, it is wrong for a man to make love to another man. According to the Bible, it is wrong for a woman to make love to another woman. According to the Bible, it should not be so. Amen. Now, let me hear this. Now, according to the government, you do what you want. But we're not following the government. We're following the Bible. We're citizens of two kingdoms. Amen. And our loyalty, first of all, is to the kingdom of God. Amen. Oh, glory to God. You know, people get into, man, we just let folks do what they want to do. Let me tell you something about politicians. Politicians are chameleons. They change with whatever is around them. The majority of them. They change. Whatever the wind is blowing or whatever color is around, you know what? They change with that. They get next to green and they turn green. That's what politicians are. But remember this. Politicians are not preachers. And God never sent the politicians to preach. He sent the preachers to preach. Amen, somebody. So I don't care if it's the president that says something that's contrary to the word of God. Remember, he's a politician that's speaking the mind of some other people that have wealth, but he's not speaking on behalf of God. God called his prophets to speak on his behalf. He didn't call a politician to speak on his behalf. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Now, the Holy Spirit wanted that emphasized today. So he brought that up in my heart. Now, I'm not going around thinking about men and women and women and women and all that. No, the Holy Spirit just brought that up. And it was so strong. Like, I want you to say something about this today. I want you to say something about this today. Because sometimes people say, well, you know, we got to do what the leaders say. There's sometimes, there comes to something that you got just got to disobey the leaders. Amen, somebody. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, let's see if we can get back to this. That was a Holy Ghost in a commercial there. Verse 15, 7 again. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they do not believe on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Now hear this. Why did Jesus have to leave? Verse 12. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, Jesus said, I want to take what I have and put it in your head. But right now, you're not able to comprehend that. And I have to live here on the earth too long to try to get this into you. Because what I have to do for you, I have to go and do for everybody else. But Jesus said, I'm not selfish. I'm not the star of the show. My Father is. And he has sent me for a specific reason. That's why he was only on the earth for 33 years. He said, when he has come, he is going to do certain things. I tell you, when the Holy Spirit shifts, when God shifts, you have to shift with him. Too many times, people get stuck in time. And sometimes, we are where God used to be. There's some churches, they want to go back. All they do is spend time in the Old Testament and looking at types and shadows, and they just sat around and worshiped the types and shadows, trying to be like Israel. Israel didn't get it right. So why are you going to spend all your time around Israel? One of the most ungodly nations on the earth today is the nation of Israel. Seriously, they are. Sure, they're God's people. But you know what? It's going to be a little while yet before they come to their light. Now, there are some, God wants them to be saved now. That's his will. It's not his will that any should perish, but that they all come to the light and accept Jesus. But you know, until they accept him that the Messiah has already come, they won't benefit from what he came to do. Amen. They won't benefit from the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my. Now, we have to recognize that, and if we have opportunity to share with them, we share with them. But for the most part, most of them are not going to listen to you. Because they believe that the Messiah has not come yet. They believe that the Messiah is still coming. Now, there are a few that have broke away from that. And Messianic Jews, there are a few of them that have broken away from that. But as a nation as a whole, they've not broken away from that. Matter of fact, they're going to go back before it's all said and done. They're going to go back to sacrificing. You know, the further you get away from the light, the more you move into darkness. If you don't receive what God has already done, there's not a whole lot he can do for you. Some denominations are where they are. It's just by the grace of God. And God may use some of them to get people saved. You know, they may not go much further than in their spiritual development. If God got some other people that walked on a little bit further beyond that. And the Bible says, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Amen. And so if there's a hunger, there's a thirst, someplace you have to get up and get out of there. And quiet, because you want something that will, some nutrition that's going to satisfy. Amen. You know, if you're hungry, you're not satisfied. But I tell you, when you get in the right place, I tell you, when you eat what's set before you by the Holy Spirit, you go, good. I'm telling you, it's better than camel soup. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is working in us today. Now look at verse 13 through 15. I want to emphasize this as and I'll make a couple more statements before we try to wrap this up. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. If I was to ask you, what does the Holy Spirit do? Would you know what to tell me? Well, I'm reading it right here. And hear this. You cannot have faith for something if God didn't promise it. But you can have faith for what God promised. I believe no matter what situation, hear this, no matter what situation I find myself in life, no matter how dark it is, Clyde is going to be delivered. Clyde is coming out. Why? I have a promise in Psalms chapter 34, verse 19, that says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hey. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So somebody says, sometimes people focus too much on the afflictions. I want you to shift and get yourself over to see it that I'm going to be delivered. I don't know how it's going to happen, but some way or another, God is not limited. God is going to move and change is going to take place. I'm coming out. Hallelujah. I'm rejoicing like I'm already out right now. Glory to God. Things may still be dark in the natural, but on the inside, things have, I see the light. I see myself out of here. Now the Holy Spirit moving and doing some things. Hallelujah. Amen. You believe it? Give the Lord a shout and give him a praise. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, the scripture said, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Whatever he hears, he will speak. Jesus said, my sheep, John chapter 10, my sheep. Yeah, they hear my voice. They know my voice. Oh, glory to God. Now somebody said, well, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep hear my voice. So I'm looking for the voice of Jesus. Let's keep reading. It says, he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine. You don't need to hear Jesus' voice. Because guess what the scripture said? He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to take what the Father and what Jesus is saying, and the Holy Spirit is going to tell you. So oftentimes people are waiting on, Jesus, speak to me. If Jesus speak to you today, it's going to be by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the agent that God is using today for your and my development. And helping to bring us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, oftentimes people get caught up and say, well, I had a heavenly visitation. And sometimes people give more credence to that than what the Word says. But the Holy Spirit lives in. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And I'm telling you, there is no situation, no circumstance. I don't care how dark it is. I don't care how it looks like you don't have this or you don't have that. That the Holy Spirit will not bring you and cause favor to be upon your life and manifestation and demonstration of God's goodness to be manifested in your life. There's no situation, no circumstance. There's no place that it is impossible for you to be delivered. Amen. There's no place, no such situation that the devil has ever devised that is impossible for God to get you out of. No situation. I don't care. You may seem like you're in quicksand. I may be in quicksand, but bless God, I'm coming out. Why? Because the Lord said it. I'm telling you, you got to be careful. You got to be careful about who you're talking about. See, people talk about everybody else, and they don't talk about what the Lord said. But the Lord said it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Some way, somehow, God is moving. All of heaven is activated. They're right now on standing. They hear this. They're standing at alert right now. They're moving on my behalf to get me out. kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen, somebody. Hear this. But if you don't know that, you just accept whatever comes along. You just accept whatever comes along. Amen. I'm telling you, what the doctor said is not the final word. Oh, glory to God. The Holy Spirit said, hear this. This is what Jesus said. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Hear somebody say, he'll declare it to me. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, you are special. You don't know how special you really are. I said, he will take of what is his and give it to you. Not just to the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And not just to the miracle worker. He will take of what is his and give it to you. So stop seeing yourself as being a little old me. I'm telling you, we need to get a new attitude. Amen. Get a new attitude. Amen. You need to get a new attitude and say, I am somebody. Not because I said I'm somebody, but because God says I'm somebody. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. When you get excited about what God is excited about, there's no telling how far you'll be able to go in life. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to declare these things after me. I always know what heaven is thinking because the Holy Spirit abides within me. He tells me whatever the Father and Jesus are thinking. I'm always in the know. I am never in the dark. I have the wisdom of God within me. Because I am in Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are stored up in me because I'm in him. I am complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. I am always in the know because I hear always and know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I am always in the know. I want you to add that to your repertoire. I want you to put that in your toolbox. I want you to add that to your confession. I always know what to do. Hallelujah. Why? Because the greater one, according to 1 John 4, the greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm telling you, what you have on your inside masters anything that Satan ever had. Matter of fact, Satan is afraid of you. Hear this. I know he hates me. I know he hates me. You know what? Because I bring truth. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth. And the truth is going to make you free. Hear this. Not just the truth you know, the truth you walk in, the truth you declare. Because it's not just by gaining head knowledge. A lot of times people, they get a bunch of information and they just sit back there all spiritually fat, got a great big old tummy, you know, just full of, and a great big old head, just full of information, but they're not acting on any of it. This has to be applied in your daily life. And if you used to decree some things about yourself, you need to hear this. You need to listen to what comes out of your mouth. Because sometimes you're not careful. You could have been saying things all of your life that are in total disagreement with the Word of God. And so I want you to do this right now. Say, Holy Spirit, I ask you to interrupt my life. Interrupt my thought patterns. And anything that's contrary to the will of God, make me aware of it. Make me aware of it. Make me aware of it. Hear this. There are some things that you're almost ready to say out of your mouth. The Holy Spirit will quicken you and say, don't release it. He said, don't release it. Why? Because it does not represent you. It does not represent your Heavenly Father. It does not represent his kingdom. said, don't release it. And there are some things that you may have been, you may be good at speaking and certain things out of your mouth and have been declaring again all your life. Your mama may have said it. Your daddy may have said it. All your family may have declared those things. But when the light has come, darkness flees away. And so we must walk in the light. It's imperative that you and I walk in the light. Hear this. Your walking in the light affects more than just you. You and I walking in the light, God uses us when we walk in the light. He points to us. Talk to other people. He said, have you noticed such and such? Listen to how they talk. You never hear them say this. You never hear them say that. That's the teacher talking to you. That's your coach who's come along to help you. All glory to God. Amen. So just when he corrects us, yield to his correction. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. I'm just going to stop right there. Glory to God. But yield to his correction. It's not enough just to know about these things. We have to apply them. As I said on many times before, just hearing these things will not change you any more than you sitting in your garage is going to turn you into a car. Somebody said, I'm going to sleep in the garage now. I believe I'm a car. Listen here, you ain't no car, and you ain't going to ever be a car, okay? You're created in the image of God. You're created in his likeness. Amen. And you are what God says you are. You have what God says you have, and you can do what God says you can do. I'm telling you, the devil wants to dumb you down. He wants you to walk and be less than what you were created to be. You have to square your own shoulders. Amen. You have to, and I'm telling you, when you hear the truth, everything about you changes. Your whole persona changes when you hear the truth and you step into it. Now, when you step into it, you're not stepping into it by yourself. Because all of heaven is right there with you. You know, Pastor Mary and I, we went to New York for the wedding of Pastor Nick and Pastor Jermaine's their son. We went to the wedding, and lo and behold, this was in the fall of 2014, and lo and behold, the fall of 2015, their son and my daughter-in-law, they had a little one, a Nicholas the fourth. Did you know little Nicholas right now, he's a walking. Matter of fact, I was walking, coming from the prayer room this morning. You know, we have prayer now at 9:15 in the teacher's lounge. Everybody's invited. 9:15 to 9:45 every morning, Sunday morning. But I'm coming here, and there's a table right around the corner. Matter of fact, Robert, why don't you go back there? There's a table back there, and I'm going to tell you what to do. There are two different sizes of chairs. There's a little bitty chair, and then there's like an intermediate chair. Hear this. As I'm walking by that, the thought occurred to me, oh, that's like spiritual growth. Huh? We go from faith to faith and glory to glory. Amen, somebody. Yeah, bring the body. I just want to set them up there as a visual here. Yeah. And now, everybody get a chair. Okay? Just set that one right here and set that one right there. Yeah. And we grow in our spiritual development. And when we're baby Christians, this is our chair. But that's not our chair for life. You ever have kids in the kindergarten, and as a parent or a grandparent or whatever, you go there and they got all the chairs like that, and you like and somebody said, have a seat, and you said, where? They have many of them open, but you said, wait, I got to go way down there.
are some people, I'm telling you, some of you, you've been in the Word too long to be still sitting in this chair. You have to graduate and come on up. You know, we're in a season right now of graduations. People graduating from college, graduating from kindergarten, graduating from high school. People are being promoted. Now, there has to be promotion. It's not enough just to be born again. You have to be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in them tongues. Now get out of that chair and get over this chair. Take your place. Amen? And be found in Him. Glory to God. See, please, I don't think all that's necessary. Listen here, we ain't asking you. We follow in the Bible. And the Bible says, there's things that we there's some people that are supposed to be grown now. They have to go back and be taught the things, the first principles of the oracles of God. Because they never applied what was taught. They say, oh, yeah, I heard that before. Some folks say, oh, yeah, I've been to them kind of churches. That's okay to go to them kind of churches, but what did they tell you that's going to help you to grow? Amen. What did they tell you that's going to help you get to the next level? Amen, somebody. And once you get to this level, don't go back to that level. Because after this level, if I could, I would put this other chair up here. There's even a bigger chair. Oh, glory to God. God wants you to get to the place where you're sitting in the high chair. Glory to God. Amen. Hey, glory to God. At our house, we had the counter in the kitchen. And comparable to a high chair, just not a high chair. It's a chair that's much higher, but it's wider. Somebody says it's able to accommodate. Amen. It's able to accommodate the pack. Glory to God. And now, God wants you to come on up to the high chair where revelation is concerned. Amen, somebody. Glory to God. Did you get anything out of the Word today? Give the Lord a shout and give Him a praise. Hallelujah.